Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
How are you, Port Kennedy? I had to take a moment to compose myself. Let's go, Ireland, hey? Yeah, come on. So good. Ah, God is on us for this hour, for this season, not because we are good, but because He is good. Amen. You might not be getting on a plane this week, but you're a part of it because the church is going and you're the church, right? We're the church. So hold those guys in your heart. And I know it's just a matter of letting the passage of time unfold before we get to start telling you the miracles that are going to happen, before we start being able to report the testimonies. Who knows, some of you might end up getting on a plane. Amen? Yeah. Amen. Oh. Whew. He senses God in the room. I'm so happy to, yes, praise Him if you need to. Ah, okay. Ah. We've had a good month, haven't we? We've had a good month. We've had a good month in God's house. Who's enjoyed July? Yeah. Who was part of conference? Part of what God did? We have obviously had conference, and then we had a little surprise, no big thing. The Prime Minister comes to church. You know, the most powerful man in the nation. That was a funny moment, I tell you. Because we had done conference, which... Who knows, when you're in leadership and you're putting on something the size, the scope of what Prophesy Conference was, you've gone pretty hard. Yeah. We'd done conference. Then we took the staff away on a staff getaway. And it was the Wednesday afternoon. We'd come home and we were shattered. We were so tired. And Ken was lying on the couch and he was half asleep. He was just absolutely wiped. He had his mobile phone on his chest. He'd probably been scrolling, you know, a few minutes before and had dropped to his chest. And it starts ringing. And it's the Prime Minister's office going, Prime Minister Scott Morrison would like to come to your church on Sunday. And I tell you, I've never seen your pastor wake up so quickly. Yes, Prime Minister. Okay. And so, you know, we thought we were going to get to rest a little bit, go a little bit slower, take it a bit easy. But no, no, we had to scramble because coincidentally, the Meyer rebuilding was in the middle of renovations. It looked like a bomb had hit it. And everybody thought we renovated because of the Prime Minister, which is not the case. We renovated and it was the most awesome coincidence, amazing timing in the world, but it also was very messy. We had to clean it up. So it was crazy days. It's a fun time to be alive, but I think the things that God has done, so significant. As we've prioritized His presence, and as we've prioritized prophecy and prioritized what God is speaking to His house right now, I've just heard so many testimonies that have come in. Hannah Amos's testimony, that is no joke. I've journeyed with that girl. I was getting emotional. I'm an emotional person. I was getting emotional watching that because I'm like, I know what she's been going through and how intense it's been. And I think all these testimonies are just witness to the fact that God has done and is doing so much. And I'm pretty sure it's true of you, Port Kennedy. I'm pretty sure that if I asked you to reflect maybe on the last 6 weeks, that for a lot of you, there would have been a word spoken that's really hit your heart. There would have been, I'm seeing nods, I'm seeing, you know, yeah, that people would have had great revelation or maybe received something prophetic when someone prayed over you or something, you know, a promise out of scripture. It could have been in a church service. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was at Prophesy Conference or maybe just in your devotional time when you opened up the word and you felt that a promise was just for you. But am I talking to someone? Has God done some good things in your life? Yes. And... Amen. And we love it when God speaks, don't we? Like we love the encounter. We love the prophetic. We love these seasons where the voice of God is declared and we hear Him and that revelation is just flowing. But we got to remember that these moments in our life, they're actually for something. These moments in our life and in God, they have a purpose. We were never supposed to just encounter the presence of God and shelve it as a great memory. We were never supposed to collect revelation like relics. We were never supposed to just collect the prophetic or collect the promises as if to say, wow, would you look at my collection of promises? You know, that's not what this is about. These moments have purpose. They have purpose. God is faithful in our lives, isn't he? He's faithful in our lives to do things in us because ultimately his desire is to do things through us, to work his purpose through us. And what is his purpose? His purpose in his people is that his people would reach other people. His great purpose in his people is that his people would reach more people. Amen. His purpose, you know, love God and love people. People. The purpose of his work in you is that he wants to reach the world around you. I love the encounter as much as the next person, but these things are not, these encounters, these moments are not an end in themselves. They are a means to an end. They're the means that God uses that he would build his people up, that he would strengthen his people and mature his people, that we are able to reach a kingdom end of reaching the world around us. They're not just so we can feel warm and fuzzy, but that we would be the people he needs us to be. Reaching a world that he needs us to reach. And we see this principle at work in the ministry of Jesus when he was on the earth. And we read in the book of Luke chapters 3 and chapters 4, if you were to open those up and read them, you would read a sequence of events that starts with Jesus being baptized by John the Baptist in the River Jordan. And it's a crazy encounter. It's such a remarkable and supernatural moment when the scriptures tell us that the heavens opened and the Father's voice is declared audibly to everybody who was witnessing this event that said, "This is my Son, in him I am well pleased." And then the Holy Spirit descended again in physical form so people could see in the form of a dove and rested on Jesus. You want to talk about an encounter? That was an encounter. Who would have liked to have been there and witnessed that encounter? Straight after this baptism moment, he was led into the wilderness where he fasted 40 days and was tested by the devil himself. I think that's another sermon altogether. But he emerges from the wilderness, and one of the first things he is recorded as doing is going into the synagogue. And when he went into the synagogue, he opened up the scroll and he read from the book of Isaiah. It was a common practice in the synagogues that they would read from the ancient scrolls. They would read the law. They would read the prophets. That was what they did in the synagogue. So these prophetic utterings of the prophet Isaiah would have been read many times before. You've got to understand that right then when Jesus was pulling open the scroll, Isaiah's writings were already 700 years old. So Jesus is opening the scroll of the book of Isaiah. It's already 700 years have passed. And these prophecies, like I said, would have been read so frequently, but they've never been read quite like this. Jesus stands up in Luke chapter 4, right there in the synagogue, reading from the book of Isaiah. And he says this in verse 18. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then he rolled up the scroll and he gave it back to the attendant and he sat down. And the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Wow. It's actually an epic Bible moment. Yeah. If it was in a Hollywood blockbuster, it would have like the musical score would be going crazy, you know, if they made a movie out of it. Yeah. You know, this was not like other readings of the prophecy. Jesus said, "Today this is fulfilled in your hearing." In other words, this prophecy is talking about me. I am Messiah to come. I am the anointed one. I am the Christ. The Spirit of the Lord is on me. And what I love about this moment, though, is that this announcement of anointing was not just for the sake of the anointing. He announced that he was anointed for a purpose, for a reason. He didn't just announce the what. It wasn't just, hey, I'm anointed. Hey, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. Look at me. Wow. It wasn't like that. It was, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because. He announced the why behind the what. There was a reason behind the anointing. The reason was people. The reason to preach the gospel to people, to proclaim freedom to people, recovery of sight to blind people, that oppressed people would become free. And the same way the Holy Spirit encountered Jesus for this purpose, he encounters us for purpose. The same way the Holy Spirit rested on Jesus to reach those who are lost and lonely and seeking, he rests on us to reach those who are lost and lonely and seeking. See, what God does in us, he wants to do through us. Because God wants to work through us. Because he wants to work through us, the work that he does in us is actually under threat. Did you know that? Because he wants to work through us, the work that he does in us is under threat. See, that word that God has spoken to you, that promise, that prophecy, that revelation is actually under threat. What do I mean by that? I'm going to explain what I mean by that, because we can think of these moments in our lives like seed. Think of them. Think of the promise. Think of the prophecy. Think of the word that comes to you. Think of the revelation. Think of it like seed, as if it were coming to you in seed form. See, the parable of the sower actually tells us that the word of God comes to us like seed. It comes to us like seed. Jesus told many parables, we know that. And he tells this parable of the sower. And parables were these little fictional stories, we know, but they illustrate powerful kingdom truths. They had a purpose behind the story to teach us something, to teach disciples something about the truth of the kingdom. And this parable of the sower, it's very well known. It's recorded in 3 out of 4 of the Gospels. And it goes like this. We're going to read it together out of Mark chapter 4, verses 2 to 8. It says, he taught them many things by parables. And in his teaching, he said, look, listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. He was scattering the seed and some fell along the path. And what happened to that seed? The birds came and ate it up. Some of that seed fell on rocky places. It didn't have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came, the plants were scorched and they withered. They had no root. They died. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so they did not bear grain. They were not fruitful. And still other seed fell on good soil. Everyone say good soil. It came up, it grew, and it produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, and some 100 times. Incredible parable. Very rich and profound. And if we were to keep on reading there in the book of Mark chapter 4, we would see that Jesus then goes on to interpret this parable for his disciples so that they could see what he wanted them to see, so that they could understand. He said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear, so that they could understand what he was getting at. And in his interpretation of this parable, he very clearly tells us that the seed the farmer scattered is meant to represent the word of God. The word comes to us like seed. That prophecy over your life, that promise over your life, that revelation in your life, it has come to you in your life like seed. And through the interpretation of the parable, Jesus actually shows us that the seed is under threat. The seed, Jesus explains that not all seed makes it to a place of fruitfulness. Jesus explains that not all seed is going to end up being fruitful, is going to end up in that place of multiplication. If the seed is going to come into a place of fruitfulness, yep, it actually has to undergo many threats, wow, and pass many tests.
Wow.
See,
wow, come on.
The bird of the air in the parable, is this all right? You're following me,
yes,
so far.
Yes.
The bird of the air in the parable that came and snatched, Jesus said that represents the enemy who is looking for an opportunity to snatch the word of God out of your life. You do realize that, right? The rocky place represents, this is what Jesus meant it to represent, represents trials and troubles and circumstances in your life that if we're not careful, have the capacity to cause the seed of the word of God to die in your life. You understand that? You know, the thorny place represents, Jesus meant it to represent,
wow,
wealth and money and the pursuit of other things in life that are not Jesus. You understand what I mean? And it chokes out the seed of the word of God in our lives. And in all those instances, makes it unfruitful. Not every seed that's sown takes root. Not every seed that is sown will become fruitful. And I don't know about you, but I know this to be so true in my life, so true in reality, because you can come away from Prophesy Conference. You can come away from that place of encounter feeling so full of the Word of God, right? You feel so aligned with the heart of God and so close to the purposes of God and confident in His promise, and then life happens. Amen. You go home, you have a massive fight with your wife or your husband or that family member. You have to re-enter that toxic environment. You have to re-enter that workplace or those relationships that are really difficult. You have to contend again with that issue or that disappointment or the trauma or the heartache or whatever's going on. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? It's just me. The seed is under threat. The spirit of the world hates your seed. The enemy hates your seed, but not so much because the seed is an issue. What he really hates is the idea of your life becoming fruitful. What the enemy really hates is the idea of your life becoming fruitful. Seed is under threat, not just for seed's sake, but for the sake of what the seed could become or for the fruit that the seed could eventually bear. If the seed doesn't eventually bear fruit, well, what's it good for? What's it good for? It might make a meal for one. If you ground the seed, you can make a meal for one, but it'll never yield a harvest for many. You know, if all we've got is seed, then we might make it to heaven ourselves, but we won't bear the fruitful harvest of taking many other souls to heaven with us. See, no one ever really had their life transformed by the deposit of seed in your life. But who knows how many people could have their lives transformed by an abundance of fruit pouring out of your life. The threat is not so much on seed, but the threat is on what that seed can produce, on the fruitfulness that would come off of that seed. And that's why I've called this message, Fight for Fruit.
Yeah.
Fight for fruit, or as Dan Elliott kindly suggested, we should call it Fruit Ninja. And I'm okay with that. If you want to write that at the top of your notes this morning, I'm good with that. Fruit Ninja. Who remembers that app?
Yeah, yeah.
Who was addicted to that one? That's one of the early ones, isn't it? As God's people, we need to fight that the seed in our lives would actually become fruitful. Amen.
Yeah,
we need to be people who are aware, deeply aware, that the purpose of seed is fruitfulness. We need to be the sort of people that are aware that what God is doing in us, He wants to bear fruit out of us for the sake of the world around us. And because of that, we are people who know how to fight for that fruit. I want to say, make no mistake this morning, God wants your life fruitful. The purpose of your life is to be fruitful. Paul prayed so often for all the different Christians in all the different churches that he planted. And so often he said, I pray that you will bear fruit. I pray that you will bear the fruit of righteousness. I pray you would be abundant in the fruit of your good works and such and such and so on, so and so. John 15, 16 says this. This is the words of Jesus when he's speaking to disciples. He said, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might feel warm and fuzzy. Yeah. No, it does not say that. Appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, a fruit that will remain. What is this fruit that we're supposed to bear? It's the fruit of God's work in us, producing godly character out of us that becomes a light to the world around us. It's the fruit of those good works flowing out of our life that demonstrate the reality of Jesus to the world around us, demonstrate that God is good. It's the fruit of faithfully sharing the gospel so that others can know him and others can come into relationship with him. This is the fruit that our lives are supposed to bear, and the fruitfulness that the enemy hates. So he's going after our seed. He's targeting our seed. And there's some things that we can do, and I would suggest that we must do if we're going to be the sort of people that fight for fruit in our lives. And the first thing we have to do, we have to stay on guard. Everyone say, stay on guard.
Stay on guard.
Have you ever done a boxing class? Put your hand up if you've done a boxing class. Quite a few of us. I used to do combat back in the noughties. Who did combat?
Yeah. Yes.
I could never master the jump kick. So uncoordinated with the jump kick. Right, left, left, right. I don't know. But, you know, when you do a boxing class, they talk about putting your guard up, right? What is that, putting your guard up? Well, it's this posture. Thanks, Dan. Thanks for the laughs. This posture of protecting and defending something that is precious, otherwise known as your head, right? It's this posture of defense, you know. In the context of boxing, there's an obvious threat. Someone's out to hit you, so you put your guard up. Well, in the context of the seed of God's word in your life, it's also under threat. If you don't put your guard up, I promise you the enemy's going to have a crack at it. The enemy's going to have a go at it. You see, in Jesus' parable that we just shared, he directly attributed a snatching of the word of God out of people's lives that was the result of our enemy. The scriptures tell us that we have an enemy. He's not fictional. He's real. He's not to be feared. But we need to be aware, we need to be on guard. And the scripture tells us he comes to steal, he comes to kill, and he comes to destroy. That's his purpose for your life. And he would love nothing more to steal the word of God out of your heart. He doesn't want your life fruitful. So he'll destroy that thing, anything to do to keep you fruitless. 1 Peter 5 verse 8 says, be alert and of sober mind. That's another way of saying stay on guard. Just stay on guard. Just stay on guard. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion and he's looking for someone to devour. There's another version that says that looking who he may devour. And I like that because the implication is there's some he may devour and there's some he may not devour. And we want to be the people who are on guard, and we're all like, you may not devour me. Amen. You may not devour us, because we're in this posture of protecting and defending what God has spoken and that precious seed of God in our lives. There's been so many times in my life the enemy has come to me, you know, going in, and the intention was to steal out what God wanted to do in. There, you know, times, going back nearly a decade, there was a seed of the promise of God in me that had been confirmed time and time again, prophetically and by revelation, and I witnessed to it that God was going to use me to speak, that God was going to use me to preach, that God was going to use me in these spaces to bring transformation and freedom and life to different people. But across those years, there has just been a sustained, at times repeated attack in the form of fear, in the form of intimidation, in the form of accusation, in all these forms, identity issues. And the fight in my life to move from a place of just a seed to a place of that seed actually bearing some fruit has been at times relentless, if I'm honest, a bit exhausting, and only by the grace of God have I come into that place. But I have come to realize, and I think gotten a little bit better at over the years, that we have to stay in a protective posture. We have to stay on guard, recognizing that the seed of God is precious. This is how we do it. We accept it by faith. We accept it by faith. We declare it. And we confess it over and over again. It's to be remembered and not forgotten. It's to be recalled and not forgotten. We do it by faith even when we don't feel it. Even when everything in your life right now is standing up against the promises of God, you declare it by faith. Talk to other people about what God is doing in you. Let them stand with you shoulder to shoulder, arm in arm. He's placed us in the body of Christ. They're going to fight for you. They're going to fight with you. They're going to contend to see you come into a place of fruitfulness. The scripture tells us we've been given powerful weapons in God. The only question is, will we pick them up and use them? We've got victory in Christ by faith. We've got the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The question is, are we using them? Are we actually going to that place of protecting what God is doing through the weapons that He's given us? If we're going to fight for fruit in our lives, we need to stay diligent. Everyone say, stay diligent. God is responsible for the seed, people. God is not tasking you with coming up with your own seed any more than the farmer can come up with his own seed. It's come to you from God, but we are responsible for the condition of our soil. We are responsible for what's going on in our heart and whether or not that seed has a healthy place to flourish and be fruitful in our lives. And we know from the parable that some of the threat against the seed was the enemy. But some of the threat against the seed was just life. It was just life. And Jesus speaks, we said before, of those trials and troubles that cause seed to die. Or those distractions, money, wealth, material things, career, education, all these things that choke out the fruitfulness of the seed of God in our lives. This isn't just a theory. I can't recall how many times I've seen people's life where the call of God was so evident, where the Word of God had been spoken and declared, and years on, now they're barely in church, they're barely in fellowship, leave alone living fruitful life in the kingdom. And praise be to God, He can restore and redeem anything. His grace is sufficient. But if we, as a house, what I so strongly feel God's calling us as a house to be more than seed Christians, but to be fruitful Christians, you know, to see the lost found, to see disciples made, to see nations reached. And we need to stay diligent in making sure the environment of our lives is conducive to God's seed growing and flourishing and becoming fruitful. John 15:5 says this, it's Jesus speaking. He says, I'm the vine and you're the branches. If you remain in me and I remain in you, you will bear much fruit. Yeah. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Doesn't say if you visit with me occasionally, you'll bear much fruit. Doesn't say if you check in with me on Sundays, you'll bear much fruit. It says if you remain, we've got to remain with Jesus. We've got to stay with Jesus. We've got to fix our eyes and our focus on Jesus. Our daily walk with Jesus is so important. Coming to church is so important. Your connect group is so important. Acting on what God told you to do. That is so important because it's part of staying diligent. Even when you feel weak, even when you feel like the seed's under threat, even when you feel like you're tempted to stray or go off in a different direction or your mind's all messed up, even in those places, it's these environments that recalibrate you. These environments that keep you on track and are conducive to fruit bearing in your life. And my final thought, if we're going to be fruitful in this house, is we need to stay expectant. Everyone say, stay expectant. I really feel God on this point. You got to expect to see fruit in your life. You got to expect God to use your life. I want to say, I don't know who I'm saying it to tonight, but today, this morning, whatever the time is, there's purpose on your life. There's purpose on your life. I just feel prophetically right now, I'm off note. So there's purpose on your life. There's a lot of you that look at someone like me and you're like, it's good for you. There's purpose for you. I can believe that. Yes, verily and amen for you. But I'm turning it around. I'm turning it around. Okay, out of scripture. You want a scripture? Ephesians, when it talks about the ascension gifts, the fivefold ministry. God's given apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and whatever the other one is. He's given them... for the equipping of the saints, yes, for the work of the ministry. Yes. As a pastor, my job is to get you ready, yes, so you can go out and be on purpose. Yes. There is a purpose. The saints have a ministry. Everyone has a ministry. Yes. There's purpose on your life. You need to stay expectant that at any moment, God is going to release you to the thing. Yes. He's going to release you to the next. And that might be your next door neighbor. Yes. That might be the next person in the line at the petrol station. Yes. But stay expectant. Yes. If you are sitting on some seed in your life and you're protecting it and you're being diligent with it, you better believe that you're going to bear some fruit. You better believe. It's not going to stay seed forever. The Word of God is alive and it's active, aka it grows. It becomes something. It's not dormant in your life. It's going to work in your life, and God has put it in you because He wants to bear fruit through you. You better believe there's purpose for your life. You better believe God wants more for your life. If He has planted a seed of freedom in you, then freedom is coming. Yeah. Don't you give up. If He has planted a promise of restoration, restoration is coming. Yeah. If He's planted those seeds of seeing people delivered and wanting to see people set free and wanting to see comfort and wholeness coming into people's lives because of your story, and you better believe that that fruit is coming off you. I guarantee He knows what He's doing with you. Very good. He's the God of Ephesians 3:20. Yeah. He wants to do abundantly more than you can ask or think or imagine. He's not coming to you to just do a tiny little bit of something. He's not coming to you to give you some 15-minute window of fame and then close. You know, like no, even the parable we just read, it said that seed that lands on good soil, it multiplies 30, 60, and 100-fold. That's the kind of fruitfulness that your Father has in store for your life. To multiply over your life 30, 60, 100-fold. So I can say, partner with the Holy Spirit. Partner with Him to protect the seed, to stay diligent, and to expect fruitfulness to come off of that which He has done. He who's begun a good work in you will bring it forth to the day of completion, right? This is our God, because there's a word, a world, and a community around us that doesn't just need a seedful church, needs a fruitful church. Doesn't just need my storehouse of seed to be so full I'm amply supplied. They need us to be fruitful. They need us. That no one's going to be impacted by the work of God in us, but only when He starts bearing fruit through us. Let's fight for fruit for this generation. Let's fight for fruit for our families and our friends and our mates and our workplaces and our schoolmates. singers and musicians, you can come up and join me. They need to see Christ working through us. They need to see his light shining through us. And just as Jesus was able to declare, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because, I pray in this room that we also would be able to declare, the Spirit of the Lord is on us because he has anointed us to preach the good news to the poor, to proclaim freedom for all those who are oppressed and held in captive, sight to the blind, that the oppressed would be free in Jesus' name. That is the sort of fruit he wants to bear out of your life. Amen. All over this place, just stand to your feet.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.